Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello, I'm Annie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And welcome to Scummy Mummies, the 50th episode!
Yes, it is, Ellie!
We're so excited!
It is!
We've had some fizzy wine, can you tell? And to celebrate our 50th episode, we've got a very special guest. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Sally Hughes.
Hello.
Hello, Sally. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for hosting us in your lovely home.
Oh, you're very welcome. Welcome to Brighton.
So, Sally, you're, of course, a journalist who's written for tons of publications. You've recently published a book, Pretty Honest, and you write weekly columns for The Guardian and The Pool. And you've been on Woman's Hour, Sally Hughes.
I have been on Woman's Hour many times.
So, Sally, please tell us about your family.
Okay, so I'm divorced and I have two children whose father is my ex-husband. They're both boys. I have a 10-year-old named Marvin and I have a soon-to-be 8-year-old named Arthur, and I'm not having any more.
Fair enough.
You're done.
I've been done for some time. And in my house, Marvin and Arthur live here, obviously, with me. And then my partner, Dan Meyer, who's a comedy writer, lives here too. And I have an assistant called Lauren, who lives in the flat at the top of my house. When I was a single mum and didn't have anyone to help me, I had a live-in nanny. I had three living on the top floor, but now I have a boyfriend and I don't need a live-in nanny. My assistant lives in it, which is so nice.
So you've got someone to help you with your kids and you get to have sex with someone. That's an upgrade, Sally.
It's a strong upgrade.
Far out.
Yeah.
Well done, you.
Quite happy with it. Landed on my feet in the end.
That's it.
Did you put that in your... Did you do like online looking for sexy nanny?
I did have a manny for a time, actually, but it's very important if you do have a manny to have a manny who is in no way attractive to you.
Absolutely. No hair flicking, no giggling.
No, because you want to be able to look like a pig in your own home.
Yeah.
You want to be able to really look like a minger in your own house without thinking... Fit man in the house.
Yeah.
I never thought this. I just kind of festered in my own dogness on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's good.
Never gave him a thought.
And it's great to hear you say that, because of course you are very well known for your beauty column in The Guardian, but you say in your book you have days where you don't wear makeup at all.
If you weren't here, there's no way I'd be wearing any. I'd still be in my pyjamas.
Of course, you don't just write about beauty. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to start off with a sort of a current affairs-y. Can we have the theme tune, please, Helen?
Current affairs. Great, yes.
But we're going to talk about a column you published recently for The Pool about honesty.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I like how you use that. Honesty.
Yes.
It's sincerity. I guess what we loved about it, because I guess what the heart and soul of Scummy Mummies is that we're very honest and probably share too much sometimes.
Was it for anyone who didn't read it? It was about celebrities, basically, wasn't it? Mm.
Yeah, so it was about female celebrities sort of colluding in this massive lie that they are that amazing without outside help, whether that's childcare, whether that's ludicrous dieting, whether that's plastic surgeons or whatever, the idea that they are just effortlessly that amazing. Oh, I stay this thin because I'm busy working mum running around after my children all day, or I just use cold cream and my mum just gave me really good jeans. Or, you know, I've interviewed so many celebrities where they order the burger and chips so you put it in the piece, but then, of course, they don't eat it.
Mm.
Or presumably they yak it up later if they have eaten it.
So if it was me and Helen, we'd eat it. We'd be like, you can eat that, Nicole.
Yeah. That's right. I'm a second order of mayonnaise, thanks.
It's really, I've been on the other side of the table to the lies so many times, and I find it, as a woman, I find it really difficult because I write down what they say, but I mainly think it's bollocks. And I actually think that women would feel so much nicer and better about themselves if they knew that those women have paid childcare, are on silly diets, and get Botox, because that's fine. It's fine to have a nanny. It's fine to have Botox. It's fine to be on a diet. If that's what you're doing, that's your business. But pretending that you don't do those things or engage in those things, I just think sails the rest of us down the river. You know. I mean, it's difficult, though, because how much can you blame the women telling the lie? You know, on the one hand, I think, God, I really wish they wouldn't do that. And I was so happy when Olivia Colman said the other day that she loved getting Botox. I just thought, yay you. I'm so impressed when they come clean. But I can understand why they perpetuate the lie, because they're shitting themselves as much as the rest of us. Because they're not allowed to get old. They're not allowed to be less than perfect. Because that is what the whole kind of bubble props them up as. So I think it is really hard, but every now and then a celebrity will come out and say, yeah, I've got a nanny, yeah, I have Botox, and I just admire them so much for it.
It's the normality.
Yeah.
And that's
what you're doing is you're allowing people to dive on the one flaw they perceive you to have, which is exactly why people lie in the first place. So you're saying, actually, do you know what? I'll take the hit, do the double page in the Daily Mail and say I get Botox, ignore all my achievements. That's right. And Olivia Colman took that decision, and I love her for doing that. I just think it's cool.
Yeah. What's your stance on the Photoshop issue, the kind of the thing of the retouching of images for magazines and stuff?
I have really mixed feelings about it, actually. Research shows, I've been in a million focus groups for magazines with readers, and research shows that if something is really heavily photoshopped, it doesn't do particularly well on the newsstand. So if a model kind of basically looks like an animation, it turns women off. They tend not to buy the magazine. However, a little bit of photoshopping they like. Now, you could argue that actually somebody just needs to take the risk and make women look real and how they are, and we would soon adapt to it. But on the other hand, I don't think that people are that stupid. You know, when you buy your microwave meal, that it's actually going to look like sick when you heat it up. It's not going to look like the beautiful thing on the picture.
Yeah.
You know, when you're booking a holiday, that the sea is not going to be that blue. And these things have existed forever and ever and ever. Photoshopping in a cruder form has existed forever. Vaseline on lenses, tights kind of stretched over lenses, these things.
I wear tights over my face most of the time. It has, yeah. Of course, problems with the police if I go to a bank. But
And all these things have existed forever, and I actually think that people are not that dumb. I think people know that a certain amount of manipulation goes on. However, I think it's too much. I think it goes on too much. There are certain magazines that are worse than others. There are definitely certain advertisers that are worse than others. And I ultimately think it's not that helpful. But I have interviewed celebrities where the pictures have come in from a brand and we've had to send them back because it's like, it literally looks like a manga cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what's real and what's not. And I think, but it's just this sort of weird game. It's like, everybody knows this is real. And
also,
this is
you don't
fake.
Want to be the one person who goes real, and everybody's like, "Jesus, she looks
this
terrible."
This is the game, guys. We're all doing this game. Join in. So
I had this weird situation a few months ago at The Guardian where there was a photo taken for my page. So they're generally not retouched for beauty ever. They're retouched for like an eyelash has fallen on the cheek, or they're retouched for a bit of dry skin hanging off, or you know, whatever. But they're never retouched for age. They're never de-aged. And a few months ago, the photographer heavily retouched one for his own portfolio. Anyway, he sent in the wrong one and The Guardian ran it. Everybody went mental and said, "What's this? What's this?" Everybody complained below the line, and they hastily swapped it for the right one, but he'd sent his own copy. But it was sort of reassuring for me that people were quite cross on my behalf that I had had the photographer had taken 20 years off me for his own portfolio, because that's what makes a good beauty picture, whereas The Guardian wouldn't do that. People were quite cross.
Does it ever bother you, ever look at a photo of yourself? Because I look at photos of myself quite a lot and go, "Oh dear, oh no." Do you ever look at a photo of yourself and think, or do you just think, "No, that's who I am, that's an accurate"?
Oh no, every week I hate them.
Do you?
I never really think they're nice. I went through a period of about, after I got the beauty column in The Guardian, kind of 2 or 3 years where I would look at the picture, and if it was really bad, I just felt so awful about it. But for several years now, I glance at it. Sometimes I think, "God, why did you choose that picture? It's crap." Sometimes I think, "Oh, it's passable this week." I never love it. But you know what? It doesn't matter.
And I never mind having my photo taken sort of socially, even if it's... Because even though I look pretty awful in photographs, but I feel like, well, yeah, but that's what I look like in real life. Like, who am I kidding? Like,
yeah.
And there's a lovely bit in your book where you say, you know, if you're one of those women, it usually is women, who are like, oh, I don't like having my photo taken.
I think that's terrible.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's terrible. So people who never have their photo taken, I see this a lot. I'm the same as you. I'll always have my photo taken. I don't care. But there are certain people, sadly, very often female, who will never have their photograph taken because they hate looking at their image on a photograph. And I get it. I totally understand it. I can see how this has ended up happening to women. But you are denying yourself and your children and the people who love you memories of you. And what if something happened to you and nobody had any photographic evidence of the enormous contribution you made to their lives? I just think that's really tragic and awful.
Do you like a photo, Helen?
Oh, I love a photo. I'm a bit snap happy. And yeah. And also, because all my family's in Australia, I send them photos almost every day.
It becomes massively important, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although when we had our professional photos taken, I did ask her to touch up my tash.
Right.
Been a bit of a you know, been yeah. a while between waxes. Can you touch up the tash?
I think that's fine.
I do have JPEGs of that shoot saved on my computer that say hair, no hair. Yeah, I think that's
fine. Yeah. If they're forever photos.
Yeah.
You know, I always say this to women if they're getting married and they've got a massive spot or a cold sore, or if their husband has, whatever.
Yeah.
Just take it out. You know.
Yeah.
Well, the husband, yeah.
Yeah.
If only. It's one day and you're looking at those pictures forever. If you are going to immediately look at the cold sore or the spot for the rest of your life, life's too short. Just get rid of it.
Get
exactly. some Tippex, I would say. If you can't afford to have it done professionally, just...
Exactly.
Cut and paste. Put Tom Cruise in instead.
Stick a fly on it.
Yeah. Smudgy smudge.
And I know you mentioned in your pool article that you're enraged by no makeup selfies that aren't really no. So as like a makeup expert, can you look at a no makeup selfie and just go, no, like that's CC cream, that's, you know.
I have literally never seen one that is makeupless.
Really?
And no, it's all Bobby Brown. Balls,
it's all...
I have lots of problems with the no makeup selfie. I had huge problems with it as a campaign, which made me deeply unpopular because it was for charity. Spuriously, it was for charity originally. Mm. Ultimately, it became a more organised charitable effort. But originally, it was like, if you hate cancer, take a picture of yourself without makeup. Just a nonsense thing. I hate nominating. I don't like women being put in a position where they have to take off their makeup as though it's the biggest sacrifice and the most awful thing a woman can do.
I cleansed and now I love the world.
Bullied into it in order to hate cancer. Mm. I don't like anything that just women have to do. And men don't have to make an effort. I don't like anything where people point the finger and tell women to do something. Quite often you'll get celebrities just posting the no makeup selfie just to tell you how amazing they look without makeup. Mm. And two things have happened. Either they're wearing makeup or they've heavily face-tuned themselves on the Facetune app, which is the retouching app.
Write that down, Helen. Write that down.
No tash.
So it all comes back to the same thing. I just think to pull the wool over everyone's eyes because of your own fear and insecurity just breeds more.
But again, there's a chapter in your book about the importance of being honest in real life. So if someone's got spinach in their teeth or period blood on their skirt, you think you should always tell them?
I do.
Even if you don't know them?
I do. Because, I the worst that can happen is the person is embarrassed for a moment, then grateful for the rest of the day.
Mm. Absolutely.
I just think, just do it. It's the sisterly thing to do. Be kind, be quiet, be discreet, but do it.
Mm.
I think it's correct.
But then you're in a unique position, right? So, because you know so much about makeup and stuff, do you ever look at someone and sort of think, oh, that's the wrong shade of foundation, or oh, I know what shampoo you should be using, or like, do you tell them that stuff?
No, I would only tell them that if we're on friendly terms and we know each other. I would never say that to a stranger because it's none of my business how somebody wants to look. And do you know what? If somebody wants to look orange, that's fine. That may be their thing. But if a close friend said to me, do you think this foundation is the wrong shade for me? I would say, yes, it is. And if it was a really close friend, I would volunteer the information without them asking. Mm. But I wouldn't tell a stranger. Why make someone feel bad? I wouldn't do that.
Well, what if it was someone sort of in between? Was sort of someone who maybe just turned up at your house for the first time to record a podcast? Would you tell them, help me, Sally, is what I'm saying. Help me, please. Help me. Just say it. Just say it, Sally. Please, help me.
I wouldn't. No. I wouldn't.
Oh. Because, well, anyway,
not giving you free advice, Ellie. This is not what this is about.
Because women shouldn't be objectified in that way. I'm not here to look at someone's appearance and pick holes in it. That's not good. There's enough of that stuff going on. I'm here for advice.
That's what I've got Helen for, to be fair.
Yeah, no. Did you get yourself a wife?
I'm here for advice and counsel if people want it. If people choose to read my column and choose to buy my book or choose to ask me in a pub or whatever, of course I'll tell them, but I'm not here to go about kind of dictating how people should look.
Do people do that? Do they come up to you in pubs and go,
yeah,
Sally,
yeah,
what do you think of my lipstick?
Yeah.
Oh, I've written a beauty joke.
Okay. Can I?
No, so one of my favourite jokes is where I say, oh, there's so much pressure on women, especially from the beauty industry. There's all these moisturisers that promise 72% more moisture and to actively reduce the visible signs of ageing. Well, frankly, I can achieve that from having a bath in the dark. And that way I get to have a wank and a cake.
Hey!
I'll be here all night.
Cake in the bath? No, I'm against.
You're against? Why?
I'm against cake
crumbs,
in the bath.
Crumbs.
I fear wet sponginess.
Fond of fancy, Sally.
See,
two words.
But the
two hands, wank and cake. That's all I'm saying. A very clean. See, I clean wank, clean cake.
Wine and a wank, fine.
All right.
And a copy of Vanity Fair.
Should we move on to some more beauty chat, Ellie?
Yeah, we've done a bit of beauty chat, but let's
okay.
Yeah,
can we
let's
ask
laser focus?
We've got.
It's time to drill down.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
I thought we could start with the book. Really.
Oh, okay.
Pretty honest. Now, there's a quote on the cover of the book, which is from Kate Moran, which says, "If it's on my face, it's because Sally recommended it."
Oh, which sounds a little bit spaffy.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit spunky. Yeah,
but it got me thinking. Actually, quite a lot of my beauty stuff, such as it is because you recommend. Like I do the thing where you said, go to IKEA, get a load of flannels,
yeah,
and have a new flannel every day.
Yeah.
And I love that. There's something so sort of.
Yeah.
I think the feedback I get from readers is that was the biggest game changer for them.
Really?
Hot cloth cleansing.
Yeah.
It is by far the best way to cleanse, by far. And the most important thing you can ever do for your face is cleanse. It's a really boring answer, and I know it's displeasing to people because it does involve taking off your makeup before bed, which is annoying and all of that. But it is the one thing where I say to people, if you buy some flannels, you buy some cleanser, and you hot cloth cleanse, which is, for people who don't do it, you massage a cleanser into dry skin. Not a face wash, a cleanser.
Not fairy liquid.
Not your Clarins face. Or a cream. I don't like face wash. They have detergents in them usually, which leaves your skin really alkaline. It's not good. So you need a balm, a cream, an oil, a milk, something of that nature. You rub it into dry skin to loosen your makeup. Then you drench a flannel in hot water. You wring it out. And then you just buff the cleanser off. And that's all you do, and you do that twice a day. In the mornings, you can be quite slapdash because you're not wearing makeup, but you know, you do that twice a day, and it's the one thing I say to people, do that for 1 week, and then your skin will look better than it did today. Guaranteed.
And then you talk about putting on a nice night cream, one that's a bit tacky when you wake up the next
day.
And you said it's like it feels comforting. It's like putting on an electric blanket.
Yes.
I thought, oh, yeah, because my gran used to have an electric blanket.
I've got one now.
Yes, oh.
Ooh, yeah.
I've oh, they're back, now. Aren't they?
They're back. I'm obsessed with mine, and I got Catelyn onto it. So I said to Catelyn, you must get an electric blanket. She's now got an electric blanket. And I am never not ecstatic. It's sort of, it's quite an elderly impulse.
You like to slot your feet in.
But also now they have foot boosters.
Just
have your feet hot and the rest of you normal.
My question was about primer. And I know friends who've crossed over the primer bridge.
Yeah.
And said they can't go back after they've been over the primer bridge. But so for people who don't know what primer is, so you put your moisturiser on and then another magic cream that keeps your makeup on? Is that what it does that?
Yeah. So I completely understand why women don't want to cross the primer bridge because it's just like, what, another thing? Like, really? I need another layer. I'm not wearing primer today because I'm not wearing foundation. If you are wearing foundation, I would strongly recommend a primer.
Yeah.
What primer does, it's basically silicone, that's what it is, and it sort of laminates your skin. It puts a fake layer over your skin that is smoother.
Okay.
That kind of fills in pores, little bit of line filling. It just kind of gives you a very even surface to put makeup on. And also it's a bit grippy. So mm-hmm. it grabs onto your makeup and doesn't let go. So I do strongly suggest a primer, but not every day. I only wear them when I'm wearing foundation.
Okay. Primer's gone.
The best one in the world for mums. Can I just say the best one in the world for mums is Dior Glow Maximizer Primer. So good.
Write that down. Write that down, everybody.
It's got light reflectors in. And if you're a mum... especially if you're a breastfeeding mum, mm-hmm. you are more likely to be a bit dull in the face,
okay.
dehydrated because you're losing lots of water to the baby and so on. So a bit of light reflection brings some light back to the face, and then it's ideal for new mums.
Now, one thing I'm going to say it, Helen. I hope you won't be offended, Sally. One thing I'm not sure about is in your book, you don't like a brow wax, Sally. You're against the brow wax.
I think it's riskier. I think if you've got an amazing HD brow practitioner, for example, then I think go for it. Mm. But I think on the whole it's riskier because it's less precise and it's not done bit by bit. It's done in one fell swoop. So I think it's riskier. But if you have found a practitioner who does it well, go for it.
I always get a nice little, line of pimples after I get mine done from the landing.
Right, well that's nice. Not uncommon, sadly.
Yeah, okay.
There's not much you can do except if a little bit of a help is after you have some hair removal, if you're prone to those little pimples, if you wax some aloe vera gel on it doesn't have to be aloe vera, anything that blocks out everything else,
okay.
So a gel kind of dries to a bit of an attractive
crust.
Crispy
yeah.
thing.
Right. Like you've been slimed.
Kind of, we'll block out other things and helps a little bit.
Woo! Poppity pops.
Happy 50th.
Yeah, happy 50th indeed.
What are you doing for your upper lip? I'm interested in this.
I go and see a lovely lady and pay her £5 and she rips my lip off every 6 weeks.
Waxing, I hate this, Sally. I do it myself. I get a little wax strip.
That's fine.
Whack it off.
That's fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
But sometimes it leaves a sort of Hitler effect. If you don't do it carefully. But I did,
handy if you ever want to invade Poland, you can.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of occurred to me. I will confess to you that I was nervous about coming to your house today, and I did have my brows waxed tinted this morning.
Tinted?
You did it good.
They are nice.
Well, there we are. Yes.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Rebecca from Quick and Fab. She's in Southeast London. She comes. She's a mum, and she used to have a salon. But now, she comes to your house and she rips hair out of your face, and you give it. Sally uses hair for house, and she says it's quite nice.
This is a very weird thing with brow threaders, in that it's the one area of beauty, or one of the areas in beauty, a bit like nails actually, where price is no indicator of quality.
Absolutely.
So you can spend a fortune getting your nails or your brows done and they'll be crap, and you can spend practically nothing and they'll be great, or vice versa.
Well, that was one of our questions actually. Where is price important? Like, is it all right to buy a moisturiser from Lidl?
Yes.
I love a little moisturiser. I like a little night cream as well.
Yeah, it's very good,
a little night cream.
Yeah. Moisturiser is absolutely fine. The only area where price becomes an issue with moisturiser is if you are prone to breakouts. Sometimes mineral oil can really affect breakouts and make them worse. And mineral oil is a cheap ingredient, so the cheaper the moisturiser, the more likely it is that it'll be in there. But there are expensive ones with mineral oil in too. But basically, if you look at the label and it says anything that has paraffin as the first syllable or petrol as the first syllable is mineral oil.
My absolute favourite moisturiser is Aesop, Camellia Nut. It's so delicious.
Have you tried the Aesop Poo Drops?
Pardon?
It's a little bottle of oils and they're called post poo drops from Aesop. You can get them in Selfridges and Liberty and on the Aesop website. I have boys who routinely don't flush the chain.
Yeah.
Like, and so I'll go into their bathroom, which you'll note I wouldn't let you use earlier, just in case.
That was all right, because I wanted to have a look in yours anyway, so I was very pleased.
I haven't been in there today, so I don't know what shape their bathroom is in. But anyway, if you take the dropper and you drop 5 drops of this oil in the sink, not in the loo, just in the sink, there's something about the blend of oils that just neutralises the smell.
Oh my God, they're magicians.
And they're £20 and a bottle will last you a year.
Wow. Poo drops. I think that's the best advice we've got so far.
In our whole life.
Oh,
so good.
That's
really
a game changer.
Good.
All right, we're tweeting about that.
But I mean, speaking sort of more generally, what beauty products should you sort of spend your money on, and which ones can you go budget?
You should spend your money on the big ticket items that should remain big ticket are perfume and foundation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Cheap perfume is rank. Like, occasionally you'll come across a cologne that's cheap and that's okay. But on the whole, perfume is expensive. Because you don't want them to use tons of synthetics, you want them to use kind of natural flowers and oils and so on. And cheap foundations, I'm not saying there are no good ones, but they're rare.
Mm. And they smudge around, they're like a clunky and clumpy and...
They cover the biggest expanse of facial real estate.
Mm.
So everybody's going to see how good quality they are. Whereas if it's just an eyeliner, nobody's going to see it. It's just a line around your eyes. But when it's covering your entire face, I think it wants to be right.
So forget your Rimmel, go for something like a MAC, would you say, or a NARS? I'm acting like I know. I just been to Selfridges once.
I use Suku Foundation, but there are loads of good ones. I think Bobbi Brown is the easiest bet if you're looking for a foundation, because she has got a formula for everyone. She caters for all ethnicities, which is rare. Anybody can find a foundation at Bobbi Brown that suits both their skin and their colour.
Ain't nothing but trouble.
But all the Lauder brands, Clinique and Estee Lauder and MAC, they're all kind of multi-ethnic and multi-formula, so...
All right, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of our listeners out there are mums and new mums. Have you got any tips, like...
Well, there's a whole chapter on this in the book, and I suppose the biggest thing I learned is to not fool yourself when you're pregnant, that you're just going to... be like, you know, one of those boho women who just have 25 minutes to get ready to go out. It's ridiculous. You end up just looking like shit because you know, just a shower is a treat, never mind anything else.
That's it.
And I love that bit in the book where you talk about how you had a friend coming round and you did get all sort of dolled up.
Yeah.
And then that's how she knew you were very unhappy.
She knew I was mental, which I was. So my friend Julia came round and I had bought myself a boho Bowden top. Bowden then was not how Bowden is now, I have to say. It was really kind of, you know, yummy mummy Wandsworth mum. Mm. And obviously I've always worked in fashion and beauty, very, very unme. So I bought this top, this pale green bejeweled jumper, because I thought that's what mums wore. I thought that if you were in full control of the situation and you were being a proper mother, that's what you would wear. And she came round and we spent the day together and it was all perfectly pleasant, and she left and she texted me and she said, I'm coming round next week and I'm taking the baby out and you're not right, something's wrong. And she was right, something was wrong. I was insane.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So... So what would I say? If you've just had a baby, I would say before you've had the baby, have a maintainable hairstyle.
Mm.
Have something that looks relatively okay by tipping your head upside down, blasting it with a hairdryer and bringing it back up again. And if you can do that with your hair, you'll be fine for the first 6 months. That would be good. I would say get a good tinted moisturiser with some light reflectors in, because breastfeeding in particular can really drain the light from your face. I would say get a cream blusher that looks both good on your lips and your cheeks, because that's the thing that will instantly make you feel perky and healthy. But you know what? With my second baby, I made no effort whatsoever. I used my maternity leave as a kind of tits out, don't give a shit, just going to sit in my pyjamas, I am loving my time period. And that is fine. That is fine. If you don't want to do anything whatsoever, that is perfectly fine. I did more with the first one. I was really unhappy and kind of trying to pretend I was coping than with the second. If you are somebody who's really dolled up every day and suddenly you're like, woohoo, I'm watching Jeremy Carr with the baby, whatever, go for it. Mm. Don't deny yourself
all the right
that.
Stuff.
There's nothing wrong. But if you want to wear a little bit, what should you buy? I would say a tinted moisturiser and a cream blusher.
Done.
Yes.
That's beauty tip
and
done, Lily.
And that's the baby sorted. What about for your own?
And if the baby, you want a spray tan, some like false lashes, some piercing.
Tat.
Oh,
a nice tat.
I always love seeing a baby with a bit of nail varnish as well. Yeah. That's nice. That's a good look. Not that we're judging. We're not judging. Yeah. Great. All right.
Well, thank you. I feel more beautiful already, Helen.
I do. I feel I've got it in a glow. But maybe the 4 glasses of champagne I've had. I don't know.
Sally, have you always just like been naturally good at makeup, or have you had any disasters in your time?
Both, I think. Mm. I think I've always been quite adept and always really curious and always obsessed with makeup and photography and magazines and stuff. But I think disasters are really, really important, and I think teenagers are meant to look mental. I think that's your job. Mm. I've definitely had loads of disasters. I had a highlighted mullet.
Wow. Frosted tips?
Frosted, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We've never had a mullet confession on the podcast.
Oh. Love it.
Sally Hugh, thank you.
Yeah, no. I very much had a mullet. It was a little bit Michael Bolton, but a bit shorter.
Ooh, perm.
And perm came later. I tried to salvage the situation.
It's like, that's it. Yeah, cool.
It's like throwing shit at the wall.
That's right.
So I'm trying to salvage the situation. I got perm. But initially, I just had the frosted mullet, and it was the worst haircut since records began. My brother told me I looked like a member of Whitesnake.
Right.
No, but nowadays you see that in Shoreditch all the time.
I know.
That's ironic.
I was just ahead in my time.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. A confident undercut in Shoreditch, you see.
I spent a lot of time in the 80s as like a 9-year-old stealing my mother's Rimmel black cherry lipstick.
I used to wear a lipstick by Miss Selfridge, who used to have a brilliant makeup range. I wore a lipstick by them called Copper Knockers. Every single one of us at school wore the same lipstick, and we all looked embalmed.
Yes.
We all looked, you know, like when the undertaker's cleaner comes in to do the makeup on the corpses.
Yeah.
We all looked like that. But I've had tons. I've had lightning drawn down my face, lightning rods drawn down my face.
Oh, yes.
Moon, stars.
Have you ever done a bindi?
I have never done a bindi.
Oh, goodness, yes.
No, that's amazing to me, but no,
especially
I have not.
Especially you're in the land of bindis. I always say, coming to Brighton, it's the capital of quinoa and cumming.
It's true.
And bindis.
But you know, I never do anything exotic because I'm so Celtic that I think it's absurd. I change my makeup a lot, but the basic look is pale skin, pink cheeks, lots of mascara, that, and a bright lipstick generally is what I'll do. But then you're always in a situation where you're at NCT or you're in the pub or you're at a party and some woman comes in, it's like she's been dipped in caramel and she's got the maxi dress and all the bangles going up her arms and all the kind of natural glowy beauty. And I do think that's an amazing look, but it's so not me, there's no point. I just feel like an idiot. There's no way.
Helen, what's been your beauty disaster?
It was misreading some beauty guidance from Dolly, an Australian magazine, and I misread that you put clear mascara on your eyebrows, and I put black mascara on mine, and I look like a member of the Addams family. But it's something that it's very difficult to remove, and I did that classic thing 5 minutes before going out to
It was like an exhibition opening, and I was working in galleries at the time. And I went, oh, and I looked like Eddie Munster. I looked so bad. And the more you wash, the more it bleeds. And that was that.
You've got to start again, basically.
Am I allowed to segue into a lipstick game? Because then we had lipstick chat. Now,
okay.
Lipstick or dipstick?
I love it already.
I know. So I've spent a lot of time on the internet in the last 2 days, Sally, mm-hmm. in the lead up, researching lipstick names across the brands.
Okay.
And then I've also created some lipsticks from my own brain.
So am I saying, is it a lipstick or is it a fake made up lipstick?
Yes, but okay. I thought to make it fun, it would be Sally versus Scummy. So Ellie doesn't know this to make it fair.
Okay.
Fire down below.
I'm going to say dipstick. Sally?
I'm going to say dipstick.
It's a lipstick.
Bye.
NARS Semi Matte. Next one, Blow Me.
That's got to be real. That's a lipstick.
Sally?
Or is it just a
request? I'm going to say dipstick because I want to believe that it's a dipstick.
Sally Hughes is right.
Prune
Virgin.
That's a dipstick.
I would say that's a lipstick.
Sally Hughes is correct.
Oh, it's almost as if she knows more about beauty than me. Curses.
Thank you, Yves Saint Laurent. Lick Me Sideways.
Lick Me, you've made that up. That's a dipstick.
Fuck off. Yes. All right. Yeah. Not since university. How about this one? Randy Ian.
I really hope that's a lipstick.
I long for it to be a lipstick, but I fear it's a dipstick.
You are correct. You are correct, Sally Hughes. Okay, next one. Fanny.
Lipstick.
It is. It's NARS, the Audacious range.
Oh, Trey Bon.
Okay.
It's a great range. Very range.
All right. The next shade along is called Front Bottom.
That's right. Vertical Smile. How about Natural Musk?
Oh, you've made that up with lipstick.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, they wouldn't call it lipstick. That's the thing.
Frosted Ham.
Helen Thorne. Now you're just being silly.
Dipstick.
All right. Okay. Sorry. All right. One more. Mm-hmm. Sex Machine.
Oh, lipstick.
Ellie.
Lipstick.
Yes. It's the NARS Velvet Matte.
Yeah, it's a very good lipstick, that.
Oh, very good. Okay. And I think at the end of this round, Sally Hughes
has won. Well, thank you, Helen, once again for an inspired game, if I may say. Mm. Good times.
You're welcome, Ellie Gibson.
Will you be playing that at your next dinner party, Sally?
You talk like I have dinner parties.
Good diplomatic answer. Thank you.
I mainly just like have friends around, we put on a terrible film and sort of hate fuck it while we get pissed.
Yeah. That's dreaming.
That sounds great. Well, that was lovely. I enjoyed that. Well, that's enough beauty chat.
Yeah.
Let's do some feminism, Helen. What should we talk about?
Let's talk about feminism, Ellie. Let's talk about icons.
Oh,
women
yes.
who Should I put some more cheese biscuit in my mouth while I talk?
Do that.
Because that's what feminism is all about.
Let's talk about iconic women.
Mm.
Yeah, because one of your icons you've written about quite a lot is also one of ours, Madonna.
She's the ultimate.
She's
the ultimate.
You should
actually
have thought
you know the thing I was saying earlier about the lying?
Mm.
The fact that Madonna has that kind of, frankly, stressful-looking body. It's so kind of fit and toned. I really like that you know that that's a joyless existence for her. That she kind of, you know, that she exercises like 11 billion hours a day.
Yeah, she's sinewy. She's.
But I like that she lets you know how hard it is. And that's just her thing and that's what she wants to do. But you never feel like, well, I could do that. I definitely couldn't do that. And that's fine. So I admire that she's transparent about that kind of stuff.
We adore her for everything she does.
Literally everything. I do literally love it. Every time Madonna video.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I love it. And also, it's a real divider of people. If she does something that people think is a bit suspect, people's reactions are really good indicators for me on whether I'm going to like them or not. It's like, if you hate Madonna, we have a fundamental problem.
So who are your other icons, Sally?
Victoria Wood. I love her so much. I think she's a genius. And just makes me cry laughing. Elizabeth Taylor, amazing, amazing woman. The most beautiful woman that ever lived, I think. But the most extraordinary, kind of interesting, complex, charitable force of nature. it's so funny because I do lots of cover interviews, so I interview lots of kind of big actresses and so on for covers of women's glossy magazines, and I'm rarely kind of bowled over. And I think my boyfriend and I were saying the other day, there have only been two occasions where I've gone, I'm going to interview, and they were Joan Collins and RuPaul.
Yeah,
that's when I went mental.
Oh my god, did you feel ill?
Penelope Cruz or Keira Knightley or Jennifer Lopez, great, but RuPaul and Joan Collins.
And but you met RuPaul as dressed as a man, yes. Is that right?
He had a face full of makeup,
of course,
which
he's
very happy to discuss, but yeah.
Yeah. So what was, were you nervous?
The only thing you ever really get nervous about is will you get all your questions in and will you get what you need? But I don't really get starstruck in that way because the moment you behave starstruck, you don't get what you need. So it's kind of self-fulfilling. So I generally don't get nervous, but I was as giddy as nine kippers.
Yeah.
I was really, really giddy and excited. And I spent ages getting ready and looking nice. And he was exactly... as you'd hope. He was exactly the same.
Did you tuck?
I did not tuck. He did not tuck. But when I walked into the room, he said, oh my God, you're so fucking chic.
Oh, fucking God. Sally, could you not be starstruck? I'd have vomited.
I could have died. Oh, I was so happy.
Work done. Oh, because that's what I really wanted to ask you, actually, is about goal setting and... And are there just moments that you thought of as, say, the 15-year-old girl coming to London, or as a 20-year-old and you're doing at the start of journalism? Was there something that you went, when I interview RuPaul, my work is done? Or is that an ongoing thing where you go, how are you driven,
professionally? I think if you're an ambitious person, then you constantly are moving your own goalposts in a really stupid way. My friend Sarah always says, you must celebrate the little victories along the way because you have no idea how further they're going to go. And you must stop and open a bottle of wine every time a little good thing happens along the process because you don't know if it'll stop.
Oh, I do that every time I empty the bin.
When I was growing up, I just really wanted to have my writing in print with my name on it. So obviously did that 20 odd years ago. And then I really wanted to be on the radio. Radio was a big ambition of mine. Now I do radio all the time. So I'm like constantly moving. My thing at the moment is I want to write a documentary. That's what I want to do at the moment.
Yeah.
And I want to be a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
That is one of my secret dreams, are to be a guest on RuPaul's Drag Race and to be on The Archers. If I've done that, I'll probably kill myself.
Okay.
That'll be life achieved.
Yeah.
So nothing to do with Scummy Mummies.
Oh yeah, well no, I mean I'll be on those things because we're
right.
So successful.
Yeah, no, it's good.
RuPaul would be like, "Hi, Scummy Mummies." Yeah. He doesn't talk like that, but anyway, his assistant maybe does.
Literally not Texan.
Texas for Pakistan. I think that was not very good.
No, that didn't fall into our accent safe zone.
Yeah. That's my thing at the moment. I want to write a documentary, but I'm always kind of kiboshing my own success by throwing in a new thing that I want to do that's slightly unattainable.
Yeah.
What would the documentary be about?
I would like to write a documentary on the history of beauty and how something we buy ends up there, the process it kind of goes through.
I love a BBC Four documentary.
I do, a three-parter.
Oh, and a rockumentary.
Yeah. I really believe that you can turn on any BBC Four documentary about any album by any band and you will be sucked in within 5 minutes.
Absolutely. I've seen so many documentaries about the making of Rumours by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, so many.
I know more about it than the people
so
in
many.
Fleetwood Mac. Because
it's always
so rumours. They don't know anyway. So I know more than Stevie Nicks about Rumours.
And there's always a scene in every BBC Four music documentary where Paul Morley is sitting in an empty nightclub and someone's collecting glasses.
But out of focus. They're out of focus. But he's in focus.
And he's keeping it real.
That's my nightclub. That's where he lives. Yeah. That's actually his house. Yeah.
And it's always asymmetric. He's not centre. He's to the left or to the right.
Exactly.
Never to the centre, never close up.
Always that scene. And then there's always a scene where an old man is sitting in a studio and he plays you an isolated track.
Oh, absolutely. He twiddles the knob.
He twiddles the knob. He pushes it up.
But do you want to have your own Makeup by Sally line, or are you happy to always be at a distance?
The offers come up. I think I would like a capsule collection within an existing brand if it did ever happen. Mm. I don't think I would want to start a brand. Well, I would,
capsule,
I would need to be massively involved right from the start because yeah. I wouldn't be able to put my name to it if people were going to think it was shit. I would have to be really, really careful that it was good. Yeah. But I quite fancy, five perfect red lipsticks within an existing brand would be great.
Yeah.
At some point in the future, but I've got to write another book first. This do, my to-do list is really, really long, but I...
Joseph. Absolutely. Joe likes to fart on the podcast, doesn't he, Ellie?
I think he's done more than fart.
Oh, has he?
He's followed through.
Yeah, okay.
He's sharted
on the podcast.
Yeah.
Far out. We've
just
done
to make sure he's sitting on my lap, he's not near your white cushions. Who are your iconic women, Helen?
Oh, look, I have to say Kylie because I grew up with Kylie. It was
literally...
Yeah, well, literally, I'm a Melbourne girl, she's a Melbourne girl, but it was the first concert I went to when I was 13, and I've been to many concerts since, and I adore her. I like...
Do you?
Yeah.
You're not sure, Sally, you're not...
Do you know, it's not Kylie's fault at all, but sometimes yeah. I feel like Kylie is for people who are frightened of Madonna.
Yes.
Ooh.
No, I see
men
that.
Men especially.
Yeah. And
lots of men are quite scared of Madonna.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kylie's the palatable kind of...
She's the vanilla
she's
Madonna.
She's the vanilla Madonna. Oh. And that's not her fault. I think that's how she's kind of perceived. I've got no problem with her personally.
Yeah.
Some storming records. Best the Devil You Know's great.
Yes, it's a belter.
Confide in Me is great. There's some really, really good records, but I just...
Style icon, no.
She's not for me.
No.
Well, there we are. There's some iconic women chat for you.
Yes, there is.
That's our feminism tick done.
I love feminism.
Me too.
Yeah.
Have you got another game for us?
I do. This has got to be one of my favourite games that I have created.
Oh.
Anyway, I've written a game called Feminist Feast because we should be eating feminism, Sally. Sally and Ellie.
This is like a sort of Alan Partridge pitch for the BBC.
It is.
We should be eating feminism.
Monkey tennis.
Yeah. In prison.
I want you to try and guess, and Joe is going to participate as well, what the feminist food is. And I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
Because at the moment it sounds weird.
It sounds quite high concept.
Yeah. Okay.
Monkey tennis.
It's a bit incongruous. Okay, so I'll do an example and I think you'll get the gist. So Sally Hughes, if I said, guess the feminist food, it's an Australian feminist and also a lovely melting cheese.
Germaine Gruyere.
Yeah, yes, she's on board. She's got it. She's on fire.
Hook locked and loaded.
Name this feminist food. It is an English political feminist and a lovely flat dessert / breakfast.
Flat dessert. Emmeline pancakes.
Indeed. One all. Okay. Name this feminist food. It is a French feminist and theorist and also a tasty fish.
Ooh. Simone de
Beauvoir.
Salmon de Beauvoir.
Oh, I got as far as de Beauvoir before the fish.
I was thinking Beauvoir was going to be the fish.
I was thinking Beauvoir.
That was the twist.
This quiz is bonkum.
Simone de Bloater.
Salmon de Beauvoir.
Okay, Salmon de Beauvoir.
One to thought.
It's tenuous, I'm not going to lie.
An American film theorist and feminist and a lovely white sauce.
Ooh. I've got nothing.
Oh,
Alison Bechamel. Not Bechdale. Yes. All right.
Okay.
And a Canadian electronic musician and a juicy stone fruit.
Okay. Alanis.
Juicy stone fruit.
Juicy stone, like a nectarine or a peach.
Tori.
Peaches. Peaches.
Oh, just peaches.
Just peaches.
Oh, so that's it.
Yeah.
It's not a pun. It's actually just peaches.
She does things like that. She is Australian. Sometimes it's just nouns.
Okay.
You just have to go with it.
Okay. All right. Legendary British writer and columnist and sugary-based dessert.
Ooh.
So is that Catelyn?
Yes, Catelyn.
What else is in the dessert?
Nice with cream and strawberries. Catelyn.
Meringue.
Yes!
Yay!
Catelyn Meringue.
Oh, there we are.
Feminist Feast.
I feel sick. I have feasted on feminism. Yeah. And I want to go to the vomitorium.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Helen, wow. Sally, did you enjoy that game?
No. It's a sheer sensation.
Well, thank you for playing, Sally. Thank you for being such a good sport.
Nothing rhymes with Naomi Wolf. I just want to tell you that. Nothing rhymes with Naomi Wolf. I was like, salami wolf? No. Too loose.
And you could have had Knickerbocker Gloria Steinem.
Right. Oh,
well, well done. On that bombshell, speaking of Alan Partridge,
shall we do
Scummy Mummy Confessions?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Sally, do you want to purge her?
Oh, God. My eldest child is 10, so I have literally a decade of horror. I'm not really sure how to narrow it down. So many moments. There was one time where I was given a family holiday for me and my best friend Rachel's kids. We went on a family holiday to Wales and stayed in a farmhouse for a travel brochure. And I clearly remember us just buying loads and loads of food and putting on a DVD in one room, shoving them all in it with loads of snacks and DVD, while we had a Valium and a glass of wine and kind of barricaded the doors.
Yeah.
There have been so many moments like that, though.
Off you go, children. In some Disney.
The great thing about having older children, especially when they're with other children, is you can largely ignore them and they want you to.
Yeah.
They want you to leave them alone.
It's a mutual benefit.
So you can go and hide halfway down the street behind a wheelie bin and have a mum fag.
Yeah.
and then they're like feral in the garden and safe. So I've had loads and loads of those moments. There was one particularly mortifying moment when my eldest was about 18 months and he just started talking. And we went to a Catholic wedding, like lots of Catholic weddings. It was kind of interminable. It went on, the ceremony went on for the best part of 2 hours, and I had a toddler with me. And while the priest was sort of making his grand Catholic speech about creationism and whatnot, my 18-month-old just started screaming, "Dinosaurs!" In the middle of the church, because he was obsessed with dinosaurs at the time.
But
he was screaming dinosaurs while lots of Catholics became quite itchy
around
him. Oh, a really mortifying one that happened only about 6 months ago. There are so many, it's terrible. About 6 months ago, I was taking my son to school. And I just put on a pair of pyjama bottoms that were plain black. I thought, they look like I'm going to yoga after this. I'll just put these on. So I put these black pyjama bottoms on, some Ugg boots, didn't clean my teeth, didn't wash my hair, didn't have time, put my pyjama top on, this kind of long sleeve t-shirt that had holes in it, with my coat over the top. I looked properly trampy, like really shocking. I thought, it's fine, I'm just going to drop him off for school. Ran him into school, was about to run away, and he said his teacher was telling him to get changed and they were doing a class assembly Victorian beach holidays. And he said, "Oh, are you coming?" Didn't know anything about it. So I had to go into the assembly where all the other mums had their lipstick on and their blow dries, and I sat like totally looking like I was homeless.
As Sam Hughes beauty expert.
Yeah. Hadn't even cleaned my teeth.
The carpet teeth.
Like that. And like horrible, horrible scenes. In my pyjama bottoms.
Well, thank you, Sally Hughes. Those what a bumper pack.
Wow.
Do you know what? Those are so good. I don't think I can top them this week, Helen. I think let's just have a Sally Hughes Scummy Mummy Confessions special.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's the end, isn't it?
That is the end of our 50th episode.
I can't believe it.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I genuinely can't believe we've made it this far.
Well done, Ella Gibson. So that's been a joy. So thank you, dear listeners, who's come on the journey with us.
Yes. So thank you very much to everyone who's listened to the podcast and downloaded it and told their friends about it. Thank you for all the Facebook stuff and the tweeting and all of it, really. And we do plan to keep it going, don't we? I don't know, this could be a horrible moment where you tell me it's all over.
Yeah.
Are we on?
Yeah, no, we're good.
Good. Right. So here's to another 50 episodes.
Excellent.
Or at least 6.
Yeah.
And we should say, helping us celebrate today, we've got some lovely champagne, haven't we?
We do. We have been today sponsored by the wonderful Finest Fizz, who gave us a beautiful beautiful bottle of 2009 vintage champagne from France.
Oh,
I know.
Champagne from France.
I'm being paid fuck all, and I thought it was really nice.
It was really nice. I know.
Think it was really
nice.
It's
the Lopez Martin. Go and see Finospheres, who sponsored the champagne for this episode. So thank you very much. Delicious. Is that it?
I think that's about it. Do you want to do the admin? Do you want to do?
Oh yes, we're on Facebook at Scummy Mummies. And Twitter at Scummy Mummies. We're on Instagram, and please email us at scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
And Sally, your book Pretty Honest is out now.
It is. It's published by Fourth Estate, and it's available everywhere, pretty much.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much, Sally, for being our brilliant guest for our very special 50th episode.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Thanks. Cheers.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The thing I learned the other day, it's totally off topic, but I had no idea of this, and I want to know if you do too. My boyfriend told me the other day that one of the things he really hates about being a man is that when you go into a public urinal, most men think that that's where you fart openly.
No!
Did you know this?
No!
I did not know this. Apparently, in public urinals, men just fart freely as though it's a private space, which it obviously isn't.
It is not.
So you are bombarded with stranger fart, which is much worse than loved one fart.
Yeah,
it's like baby's poo. Oh, own child's poo.
Fine.
Family poo is fine.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. You haven't smelt my baby's poo.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.